Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. I am your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Monday, July the 14th, and today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. We're going to be talking about self-defense and the right to bear arms. This is a story that came out last week on Fox News, but lately, you know what I've been doing? I've just been doing one podcast a week because I've got quite a bit of a workload on me right now, and I used to do a show every day, and it seems like it doesn't really matter if I do one a week or one a day because people seem to listen to it either way at about the same rate. So if you're a regular listener, why don't you write and tell me, what do you think? Do you prefer to have a podcast once every single day? Do you listen to it every single day, or is once a week no big deal? So send me an email, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, or go to my Facebook page, Austin Peterson. You can find me there and send us an email and let us know what you think about the change in the schedule. So this story comes from foxnews.com about murder rates, which have correlated with a drop in the murder rates have dropped correlated with the number of concealed carry permits that have gone up, meaning, so here's the headline, just so you could understand: murder rate drops as concealed carry permits rise, a study claims. So let me read this to you. A dramatic spike in the number of Americans with permits to carry concealed weapons coincides with an equally stark drop in violent crime, according to a new study, which Second Amendment advocates, like myself, say makes the case that more guns can mean safer streets. The study by the Crime Prevention Research Center found that 11.1 million Americans now have permits to carry concealed weapons, which is up from 4.5 million in 2007. The 146% increase has come even as both murder and violent crime rates have dropped by 22%. Well, that's an interesting number there, 22% drop in murder and violent crime. It seems as if the media hasn't gotten the message, though. Listen to this. When you allow people to carry concealed handguns, you see changes in the behavior of criminals, said the center's president, John Lott. Some criminals stop committing crimes, others move on to crimes in which they don't come into contact with victims, and others actually move to areas where they have less fear of being confronted by armed victims. Increasing gun ownership, litigation, and new state laws have all contributed to the rise in concealed carry permits. In March, Illinois became the 50th state to begin issuing concealed weapons permits. But the cost and other requirements for obtaining the permits varies greatly from South Dakota, where a permit requires $10, a background check, and no training, to Illinois, where the cost of obtaining a permit comes to more than $600. When the fee and cost of training programs are taken into account. Isn't that interesting? You know, here in Virginia, I think it's about $100 with the fees and training. Six states don't require a permit for legal gun owners to conceal their weapons, and Lott states those states, excuse me, Lott notes these states have some of the lowest violent crime rates in the nation. That's very interesting. The real measure of the deterrent effect of concealed carry permits, according to Lott, is not laws on the books, but the percentage of a given state's population that holds the permits. In 10 states, more than 8% of adults hold concealed carry permits, and all are among the states with the lowest crime rates. Lott claims his group's analysis shows that each 1 percentage point increase in the adult population holding permits brings a 1.4% drop in the permit rate. Now, there are some critics to this. Listen to this. Todd Burke, a former police officer and a professor of criminal justice at Radford in Virginia, said that he doesn't buy the idea that gun permits are driving the reduction in crime. Burke said several factors, including smarter, quote, data-driven policing and increased incarceration of violent criminals, likely play a bigger role. Burke said, I think we have to be cautious about having a causal relationship between gun permits and a decrease in crime. Lots theory is one to consider, but not to the exclusion of others. And I think, as a person who believes in the right to gun ownership, I think that more concealed carry permits or more people exercising their rights to bear arms will correlate with an increase in decrease in crime. But I'm a little bit skeptical that it would happen so quickly. So they're looking at this from 2007 to 2013, where we've had this sort of spike in concealed carry permits and a drop in murder rates. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, there has to be some sort of a speculation about psychology of criminals and whether or not, you know, criminals necessarily respond to psychologically to the fact that they may think that there are more people who are concealed carrying. Remember, criminals tend to be kind of stupid. They're not going to think about anything, really. A lot of times they'll go in and they'll rob a place and they weren't thinking about whether the fact somebody had a gun on them. And at the Libertarian Republic and on my sister's site, Liberty Viral, we post a lot of times where, you know, burglars are getting their butts shot off before, you know, by people who own their own handguns and they're defending themselves or their property. And that's because a lot of them, they don't think before they commit crimes. So I wonder if it's a matter of if there's sort of like some speculation about the question of whether or not criminals sort of are psychologically reacting. They're committing less crimes because they know that there's more people carrying guns. That's probably not the case. I wonder, this study doesn't talk about, or at least this article about the study does not talk about the number of people who actually are responding to violent crimes with their own concealed carry permits. And so it leads you to wonder the question of, is it actual like physical responses that is driving the decrease in murder rates, or what exactly is it? So I guess I have to sort of be skeptical of this one, especially because, you know, I personally agree with John Lott, and I'm sure that I would come to a lot of the conclusions that he does. I mean, I don't really need the argument about whether or not more guns equal less crime to believe in the Second Amendment. You know, I believe in the Second Amendment as a fundamental right. I wouldn't care if crime spiked with an increase in concealed carry, because it wouldn't matter to me, because every individual has the right to bear arms in self-defense, no matter what happens around him. You see, a lot of people are trying to look at this from a consequentialist viewpoint, and that's really what this is. This is trying to justify the right to bear arms and concealed carry your weapon in a consequentialist manner. It's saying, well, obviously the effects of liberty, the effects of the Second Amendment are positive effects. But even if the effects were negative, I still wouldn't care. The reality is that you have a fundamental right to bear arms. It's like saying, okay, if we had if we have free speech, well, free speech leads to more limited government and it leads to more social freedoms and things like that. You could make that argument, which I certainly agree that there is. But some people will say, well, you know, your free speech causes terrorism. And that could be an excuse to crack down on it, you know, if there was a negative reaction to it, right? So liberals might say, well, oh gosh, the Second Amendment, look, more people are concealed carrying that, and crime is up. You see, and so the argument works both ways. If you give in to the consequentialist argument, I think, on some of these topics, then you would have to give into it the other way. So what if more guns cause more crime? Well, then, you know, you're basically saying, well, obviously the effects of freedom are a negative one. So, you know, it would give some sort of legitimacy to arguments against our fundamental right to bear arms. You know, again, let me look at this from a First Amendment perspective. Again, if more people exercising their First Amendment rights cause more terrorism because people were, exercising their religion more, and so there was more terrorism for whatever reason, then it would be an argument against the freedom of speech. And so, again, that's why I believe in these rights as fundamental rights, regardless of the behavior or the consequences of these freedoms. I'm not saying I ignore the consequences or that you don't take these consequences seriously, which I certainly do. But again, my way of argumentation is that these are fundamental individual rights. I do happen that you have, no matter what happens, what the consequences are. And I certainly take seriously the arguments, the consequentialist arguments that people say where, you know, oh, well, more freedom equals better outcomes for people. Yeah, I agree to that as well, but that's not the basis, the foundation of my philosophical framework here. And again, you know, you have to understand that correlation is not causation. This argument that he's making is basically trying to say that, you know, well, more guns equals less crime. Actually, that's the name of the book that John Lott, who's quoted here in the article, he actually has a book called, you know, More Guns, Less Crime. And again, you know, I'm going to agree with this, but who doesn't want to confirm their biases, ladies and gentlemen? And, you know, I try and be skeptical because I think it's important to have a skeptical foundation for your beliefs, because I like to constantly question my beliefs, you know, and that actually gets me in trouble, especially with libertarians, because we're all prone to confirmation bias. And as libertarians, we all have our own confirmation biases as well. We like to look at certain issues and say, oh yeah, well, obviously more guns equals less crime, you know, right? Like, we just assume that since our philosophical beliefs are valid, that obviously they're going to lead to better outcomes for people, which, you know, again, that may or may not be the case. I mean, look at... this is a difficult issue, but abortion, for example, I happen to be pro-life, but I think that if there was a law that outlawed abortion all across the United States, that my philosophical viewpoints might lead to worse outcomes. It might lead to less liberty. And you might say, whoa, what do you mean? Well, aren't you protecting the lives of the child? Yes, but you're also creating all of these negative outcomes on the mothers who go and seek abortions, right? So again, even though I'm pro-life, I try and temper my viewpoints with a healthy dose of skepticism and reality, because a lot of times what we believe it's almost impossible to bring about our perfect vision of what the world should look like into reality, because the world is flawed and the world is chaotic. And so our attempts to bring order through our philosophical viewpoints oftentimes can have the opposite effect of what it is that we want to have happen. So that's why I think it's important to always consider, you know, both sides of an argument, even though, again, I still believe that we have a fundamental individual right to self-defense, and I will stand firm on that argument. However, the implementation of that may be messy. Again, if I was going to be skeptical on this, you know, what if the Second Amendment meant there was more crime? It wouldn't matter to me, because, again, I'm not going to take a consequentialist viewpoint on this. So, you know, another example that's more related to the Second Amendment is that I temper my beliefs with a healthy dose of skepticism is we actually did a podcast about this here at the Libertarian Republic about the open carry protesters in Texas. And these were the guys who carried their long rifles into Chipotle. And I got a lot of crap, but also a lot of support, because I called these guys out for being, you know, fat neckbeards and, you know, dressing like crap and walking in carrying a rifle at low ready into a restaurant. It's not to say that I don't believe you shouldn't have the right to carry your long rifle around. Certainly you should. But again, open carry, it's all about creating a situation where people feel normal with guns being around, where people are, you know, feeling normal when you walk into a restaurant and you've got open carry on your hip. And so I sort of argued with the with the neckbeard coalition, who was like, yeah, I should be able to carry my my AK into the bar or whatever, low ready, doesn't matter, you should feel normal. Well, no, stop and think about this for a second. If you walk into a bar or a Chipotle and you've got a rifle in your hands and you've got it at low ready, you know, you could get shot. And theoretically, that would probably be justifiable in self-defense. And let me tell you why. Because if, you know, think about like the slaughter that happened in 1993 at the Lubies. It was the massacre, I believe that was in Killeen, Texas, where a man walked into a bar, a Lubies cafeteria, and slaughtered like 20 people. And, you know, think about this. If somebody had their concealed carry permit or somebody had had their gun on them, you know, they would have been justified in shooting the guy when he walked in with his handgun at low ready, because it looks like he's walking in to shoot the place up. So perception is reality. And that's why I think that if you're going to have if you're going to carry a weapon, I think concealed carry is actually the best way to do it rather than to open carry. Whereas with open carry, you know, you're basically broadcasting to the world where your pistol is. Now, I understand why people would want to say, hey, let's open carry, because we want to show people that it's normal. We're law-abiding gun citizens. That's fine. But there's a difference between people who walk around with a pistol on their hip and the people who walk around with a long rifle carried at low ready. And so perception becomes reality, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm glad that that the concealed carry permits are up. More people are choosing to defend themselves. You know, I think that it's important that we are a gun culture. And so I think it's important that people exercise their rights in order that we don't lose them. You know, so you don't want to have your rights atrophied by not using them. I'm not saying don't open carry, but I think the concealed carry is superior, because again, if your real purpose is self-defense, you don't want to show somebody where your gun is. You know, imagine if somebody could just grab it very easily, or a child could grab it easily. You know, just because I'm a rabid gun-owning Second Amendment fan doesn't mean that I'm not prudent. You know, I think even the NRA even got in trouble with people because they were calling out the people in Texas who were walking into restaurants with their rifles at low ready. Again, perception is reality, ladies and gentlemen, and you have to create, I think, a positive gun culture. And that's one where you don't want to give liberals, you know, bait that they can use, because the Moms Demand Action, which is the Bloomberg gun group, they actually took the photo of the people, of the two idiots walking into Chipotle with their guns at low ready, and they used it in their propaganda technique. So you don't want to give your enemy fuel that they can use against you. This is why I think concealed carry, again, is the superior way to use your Second Amendment rights, because again, you're not bragging, you're not flaunting, you're using creating a safer environment, because you can protect yourselves. I mean, there's a lot of old men that I know that carry their concealed carry. I know my dad concealed carries. He's got a license out in Missouri, where I'm from. And I need to get my concealed carry permit, because I've got a pretty sweet gun that I want to be able to carry sometimes. I mean, I don't do it all the time, because honestly, I don't feel threatened all the time. But you know, there have been a few times. You know what's funny? The only times that I've actually ever felt like I needed a gun were in the places where I wasn't allowed to carry. You know, New York City is a perfect example. And I actually... I actually would walk down the street and think to myself, man, I wish I could own my gun or have my gun here. But again, that ought to tell you right there that maybe the statistics about the concealed carry permits and the increase in concealed carry permits is being correlated with the drop in crime. Maybe it is reality, ladies and gentlemen. But even if it wasn't, even if the outcomes were the opposite, I would still defend the right to keep and bear arms. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Tell me what you think. What did you think about this show? It's just me for right now, but I've actually got a really exciting show coming up. It's one of my favorite guests that I used to have on Fox. Guy's name is Michael Shermer. He's like me. He's a skeptic. He's, I guess you would call him an agnostic like myself, because again, we can't prove that there's no higher being. But we're going to talk about his change of heart on global warming, because he actually used to be a global warming skeptic. Now he says he's a believer, but like me, he says that he thinks it's not necessarily a big problem, and certainly government is not the solution to global warming. So we're going to have Dr. Michael Shermer on the show here very soon. I'm very sad that obviously Ian Hewitt is not here anymore. Do you guys miss him? Send me an email. Tell me what you think. Have you been reading the site? What do you think of our sister site, Liberty Viral? I want to hear from you guys, ladies and gentlemen, because you are the people that keep me in business so that I can bring you the best news every single day from economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.